You're listening to Stateside. I'm Cynthia Canty. Controversy has erupted in the northern Michigan village of Kalkaska. It centers on anti-Muslim Facebook posts written and shared by village president Jeff Seating. The posts have drawn protesters on both sides. Last Friday, about 100 people gathered on South Cedar Street in the heart of Kalkaska to demand Seating resign. Across the street, about 150 of his supporters showed up for an open carry rally. Phoebe Hopps was one of those protesting the village president's posts.
And while we do totally honor and respect someone's freedom of speech, I feel that they should be held accountable for their speech. And when you're talking about killing an entire religion of people and burning down their homes, that is the type of hate speech that we cannot tolerate in northern Michigan.
And in support of the village president was trucker Randy Bishop.
It's just that you have the right to basically say whatever you want. They're saying what they want. We're saying what we want. That's what makes America great. He has his own personal freedom of speech, and how he acts as the village president when speaking as the village president, that would be something different.
So we have Jeff Seating with us now to talk about his Facebook posts and calls from people in Kalkaska for him to step down. Jeff Seating, welcome to Stateside.
Thank you.
Glad to have you with us. So what do you say to those that you represent in Kalkaska who believe you should step down?
The actuality is the community is not divided. And it's not to say that everybody agrees with my post. That would be a false statement because that's absolutely not true. However, there is a large segment of this community that does abide my right to my First Amendment, and my Second Amendment as far as that goes, but the First Amendment of freedom of speech.
What I want to do is actually to get everyone on the same page, Jeff, is that post that you shared last November was titled "Kill Them All, Every Last One." I'm going to read just a little part of the post. You shared this post, and this is part of what it said. Like a flesh-eating bacteria, Islam indiscriminately devours its host, killing it in the process. And in recognition of this plain, simple fact, the choice is simple. Excise and incinerate the contaminated flesh at the very first opportunity. Nuke Mecca and Medina and 10 largest Muslim-majority cities. Why did you feel it was important to put that post on your Facebook page?
Because historically, that's the proven fact. Thomas Jefferson said those exact same words, and not only did he say it, he actually enacted it. That was the formation of the Marine Corps to the shores of Tripoli.
Let's talk about right now in 2017. That post and others that you have on your page, for example, in relation to the Black Lives Matter movement, you say it's time to, quote, arm yourselves and to thin the herd. These aren't just expressing an opinion. They're calls for violence against specific groups. Why do you feel there's a need for violence against these groups of people who aren't white?
Well, number one, that's meant in a defensive tone. This isn't a call for violence. This is a call for defending yourself.
Kill them all, every last one. That's not a call for violence?
Well, let's look at Paris. Let's look at France. Let's look at Germany. Let's look at every country, every city that they have infiltrated, and I use the word infiltrated accurately, has fallen under the weight of their destructive presence. Every one of them. There are rapes, murders, and the list goes on. And so these don't seem to me to be individuals that choose to assimilate into a society. They seem as though they are a force looking to come in, dominate, and overthrow, and exterminate, as opposed to assimilate.
Jeff, have you ever had the chance to sit down and actually talk with Muslims and kind of learn a little about them?
Yes, I have. I was in the Air Force, and not only did I sit and talk with them, I made friends with a lot of them. You know, Saudi Arabian fighter pilots were, I was on Luke Air Force Base. It was one of the largest fighter training bases, second, I think, in the world. And they trained a lot of foreign fighter pilots. And so in being stationed on that base, I had the opportunity to hang out with a lot of these individuals.
And did they feel like the threat that you characterized in that post you shared?
Absolutely not.
For the purpose of, you know, your argument that all Muslims are a danger, based on what we have seen from fringe extremists, let me put some names out there. Timothy McVeigh, Oklahoma City bombing, James Holmes mass shooting at the movie theater in Aurora, Adam Lanza, Sandy Hook, Dylan Roof, Charleston's Emmanuel AME Church, Eric Harris and Dylan Klebold, Columbine High School. If you take that argument, then what about white Christian men who have guns? Why shouldn't Americans fear people like you, too? Why, what would be the difference?
I think that's a very good question. But my response to that would be, percentage-wise, look at the difference in percentages. You don't see us as white Christian gun-owning Americans infiltrating foreign countries and overthrowing these cities. You know, every race has their lunatic fringe, and I would probably consider all of those individuals to be part of that lunatic fringe, but I don't know that I would equate them into one particular race of people or a particular religion of people. You know, these people are pretty sporadic, spread out, and not in concentrated form. The things I'm discussing when referring to the Muslims is in a very concentrated form. And quite widespread. It's global. I mean, Timothy McVeigh didn't fly over to Paris with, 30,000 other Timothy McVeighs and completely destroy an entire city.
Well, Paris is still standing. We'll say that. I think completely destroyed.
Barely.
But
let barely.
You maintain this is an issue of freedom of speech.
Absolutely.
And as do your supporters. Well, but there is a misconception that people have about freedom of speech and the First Amendment. The First Amendment doesn't guarantee anybody free speech. It doesn't confer rights. It says Congress may not pass a law that steps on those five rights, religion, speech, press, assembly, and petition. But with a post actually that says kill them all, every last one, aimed at Muslims, in fact, you're violating the First Amendment by interfering with and threatening people based on their religion.
I don't know that I ever did that at all.
That post you didn't feel was a threat to a group of people based on their religion.
I think that's making a comment, reposting something that carried a much deeper narrative than just that particular facet of it. And part of that post was the link to go to that story. It was about 5 pages long. And although all of it kind of pertained to that, it was written by a gentleman that had engaged the Muslim hordes in battle and was making what I think to be, having been there and fought them, probably a very educated analysis of the situation.
Words have consequences. So when you, Jeff, as elected village president of Kalkaska and a community leader, mm-hmm. when you put up a post on your Facebook wall calling for violence against a specific group of people, there is a risk someone might just take you up on that call. Does that concern you?
Well, it concerns me about as much as it does when we have Hollywood actors and actresses getting on national TV and calling for the death of our president. I don't see any legal action being taken against these individuals that carry a much larger, audience. You know, this all started, so let's not get sidetracked off where this all originally started, and that's that I had a sign on the front of my building that said Trump, and that obviously rubbed somebody the wrong way. And they incessantly demanded that I take that sign down because it was in violation of the sign ordinance, when in fact it was not. And so the sign remains. And so when I refused to take it down, they decided that I was all of a sudden interesting enough to go dig back in my personal Facebook page a year-ish, roughly, and find something that really didn't sit well with them. And so then they took it and pasted it all over the place.
These are from unreliable sources that peddle in fake news. Do you ever wonder if you're being manipulated to spread fake news?
Well, I'm certain we're all being manipulated to spread to some degree fake news. Absolutely. There's no doubt in my mind. Good luck getting any truth out of any level of media these days, it seems.
Jeff, have you any plans at all to change the kinds of things you post on Facebook?
Well, you know, I don't know that I would say that I would change what I'm posting on there. You know, you point out those posts that I put on there as though they were one right after another. These are intermittent things I come across that I think are interesting. I think they're conversations that should be had. I think they're things that should be seriously looked at. We know these problems exist. Like I said, this isn't a mystery. Let's look at the news. And again, what's true and what's not. I think some of these things they put on the news are false flags. I think we could all agree on that. I think some are blown out of proportion. But you look around the world, and I see a world not getting better. I see a world getting worse. And I'm not one to sit and diss on elected officials. People say because I disliked Obama that I liked Bush. I disliked the Bush and the entire Bush family for their politics. I think they're as dirty as anybody possibly could be.
I think there are many who would feel that the world is getting worse through the kind of discourse and social media action that you represent on your page.
Well, and I would agree with that. I'd say that you're probably correct in assuming that, but I'd say that goes in many different directions, and it just baffles me why the outcry for what you refer to as hate speech on my personal Facebook is such big news when all the real hate groups that have national platforms get no press coverage.
When do you next stand for election, Jeff?
I've got about another year and a half. November will be the end of the first year of a two-year term on this reelection.
Jeff Seating is the Kalkaska Village president. Jeff, thank you so much for speaking with us on Stateside today.
My pleasure. Thank you for having me.
You've just heard a portion of a lengthy conversation with Jeff Seating, the village president of Kalkaska. You can hear the full conversation and fact checks by going to the Stateside page at michiganradio.org.